Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Thank you. We're in a series called Anno Domini, looking at things that Jesus split, right? Last week we pointed out that our calendars were split by the birth of Christ, right? B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Not only has the birth of Christ split time, but we also said last week that it split the veil of humanity. God became man and dwelled among us, right? The divinity became dust. What's the big deal about the divine becoming dust, if you will? Well, we said first, right, it shows us that God made the first move. Instead of us trying to be good enough and earn our way to God, God realized that we are not good. He tells us that we're not good, and so he made the first move and came to us. By putting on flesh and dwelling among us, he lets us also know that he understands what we're going through, everything that we're going through, all the pain, right? He bore the weight of every sin. He knows exactly what you are experiencing. A third thing we said was that he shows us that heavenly purpose can invade the mundane. There is no ordinary person in here. There is no ordinary job in here, right? In both, there is the potential to join God in what he is doing. That's what's available to you, right? You want to live an exciting life? Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Follow God and what he calls you to do, the scary stuff, right? Go talk to this person and tell them about me. Share the good news. He came to seek and save the lost, and he invites us to that. That's some of what we saw when Christ split the veil of humanity. Today, we're going to be looking at some other things that he split. We see it in the Christmas story in Matthew's account. We see the ramifications of it. Verse 18, would you stand in honor of God's word? This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Can we stop right there? Is there room in your life for this? Is there room for God to come to you with a better way? With a different path, right? Joseph had his mind made up. Joseph knew what he was going to do. He had it in his mind. He was going to do it, but God came to him and gave him a different direction. You have your mind made up about something? I know I do often. Are we willing to allow God to come to us with a different way and follow it, even when we don't see it, when it doesn't make sense to us, when we don't want to go that way, right? Don't mess with that person. Stay away from them, right? But I really like that person. No, they're not good for you. Are we going to allow him to speak to us? Are we going to hear him? And then are we going to do what he says? Thank God Joseph did, right? The Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Well, he got a dream, right? If God gives me a dream, I'll do it. My friends, you have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you that is able to speak to you. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Here we go. Because he will save his people from their sins. Ooh. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. I love that name, right? Which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Let that be us, right? And took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Why the name Jesus? Why did we say, right? because he will save the people from their sins. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the word, that you became flesh and you dwelled among us. What God does that? Lord, we know that you are the only God, and we want to honor and praise you today. Father, I pray that right now you would soften our hearts, that you would open our eyes and open our ears to hear from you, not me, not a person behind this podium. I pray that we would hear directly from you. Holy Spirit, you have right of way. Speak to us as only you can, Father. We love you. We give you right of way. We lay our crowns down at your feet, Lord. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Amen. You may be seated. If you read the title, The Gates of Hell, and you were wondering what in the world is this guy doing for a Christmas sermon, hang on, right? Christmas is about, and you mentioned this, Christmas is about the defeat of our greatest enemy, right? Sin and the consequences of sin. What are the consequences of sin? Hell, right? And separation from God, potentially eternal separation from God. That's what hell is. But the gates of hell have been split by the one whose earthly birth it is that we celebrate this season. At Christmas, we can celebrate spiritual death has been defeated, and we can have access to eternal life, right? When the angels announced the birth of Christ, what they were announcing was a mission. And the mission was that God was coming down to this earth to defeat death, to defeat sin, right? His birth was tied to his death. And we can't celebrate his birth with also not celebrating his death as well. He, like us, was born with a purpose. You have a purpose, a specific purpose. You have many purposes that are revealed through the Word of God, but you also have specific purposes that he will reveal to you one-on-one if you listen, if you're available, if there's room, right? If you're not too busy. We see his purpose on the cross. This is what the eyewitness account of his death in Matthew 27:45-50 said. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came all over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus has cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Another eyewitness tells us that he cried out these three words, "It is finished." So in the flesh, in the blood, the Son of God now dies. The instant that happens, it sets off a chain of events that we are still feeling today that reverberated in the spiritual world, but also in our world as well. Events that are still going off. What did it look like? What did it feel like back then? Verses 51-54. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain of the temple, 20 feet, 30 feet tall, right? It's said to be the width of a man's hand. Notice it was split in which direction? Top to bottom. Who could stand up there and do that, right? Only someone from the heavens. We know that the curtain prevented everyone but the high priest one day out of the year, right, from coming into God's presence, but it was torn when Jesus said it was finished. And it symbolizes, as you know, that we can now have a relationship. We can now enter into the most holy place. How? by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? By his death. The earth shook. The rocks split, right? And the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. More things splitting that we see, right? At the death of Jesus, the creator of this world, right? Of course, his creation would split. The earth shook, rocks split, the tombs were broke open, they split open, right, if you will. And what happened? Many holy people were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. After Jesus' resurrection, it's not just him that's come back from the dead, right, and is alive and is walking around, but many holy people. It's the original walking dead, if you will. Events have been set in motion that shake everything, right, that shake the core of this planet at the death of the Holy Son of God. When the centurion, those with him who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, right, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Even Roman soldiers, hard-hearted, callous men who had probably crucified many people, who hated the Jewish people, even they came to the conclusion, it all added up for them, that surely he was the Son of God. Jesus dies. Spiritual dominoes start to fall. It was foretold in the story of his birth that we read, right? Because he was given the name Jesus. Because he will save people from their sin. Hallelujah. In the instant that he dies, our debt was canceled. In the instant that he died, our guilt and shame was removed. Right at that instant, the veil torn, right? Rock split, tomb split open. Death can't hold us anymore. It was God saying, there is a way. Right? When there was no way, there is a way now. There wasn't a way into my presence, but there is now. How's that possible? The writer of Hebrews explains it, Hebrews 10, 19 through 20. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, right? By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. Through the curtain that is his body, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Wow. So what was ripped physically in the Holy of Holies was symbolic, right, of the fact that when they put nails through Jesus, when they put a spear into his side, right, it was the ripping of his body that opened a way for us, a new way for us to come into the presence of God, to come into a relationship with God. It wasn't the ripping of a curtain that did it, right? So now we can walk in this physical space that we didn't have access to before. No, it was the ripping of the curtain of the flesh of the Son of God, so that now through his blood, we can walk into that presence. And did you catch it? We can walk with confidence. Wow. Into God's presence, into a holy, perfect God's presence, right? Full confidence. Notice this, my friends, and you need to get this. None of this way that was opened was purchased or was made by anything I did or you did. If it was, I wouldn't have any confidence to enter into the most holy of places because I am a flawed, sinful person. But by the blood of Jesus, I have confidence. And that is the only reason I have confidence to enter into that place. It's not dependent on you. Quit making it about you. Amen. You didn't earn it. You can't lose it. You can reject it, right? But that's a different story. Second implication is physical, right? The physical implication is that our bodies, even though that we die, if we die in Christ, are going to be raised. The grave is not our final resting place. Does somebody need to hear that today? You've lost someone, right? Somebody that knew Christ. It's not the end. It's not the end. You may put me in one. I'm not staying there. I don't plan on it, right? We read that not only was Jesus raised to life, but others were as well after his resurrection. Tombs were split open. He is the first in prominence, right, of many to be raised. Your body's going to end up being raised and made brand new because he said it. It is finished. New bodies and God's presence. That's amazing news. It's the greatest gift that you and I will ever receive. Anno Domini, right? We truly live in the year of the Lord's favor, don't we? And that is what God wants us to get in our hearts today as we celebrate this season, as we celebrate the birth of Christ. There's more. You see, he wants us to see the baby. He wants us to be mystified by the incarnation. But he also wants us to understand that the baby was a warrior, is a warrior, and he has come to set the captives free. The gates of hell don't have a chance. We spent some time in Revelation. Do you remember the image that John gave us when he saw Jesus for the first time in the throne? Right? Revelation 1, beginning at verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace, right? And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all of its brilliance. Do you remember this part? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Do we get this? This is John. This is the apostle. This is one of the 12. This is his beloved. This is his friend, right? Their family. He used to recline, sit back on Jesus. He spent years with him. He loved him. He knew him. He knew that Jesus loved him, right? And he didn't go, wow, Jesus, that's quite the transformation. High five. It's really good to see you again. Long time no see. That's my bro. No. He collapsed at his feet, as though dead. He couldn't believe what he was seeing, right? In the presence of his closest friend, he was scared or shocked almost to the point of death because Jesus was restored in full radiance and full glory. That's what he got to witness. Then he, Jesus, placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and I'm the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Did you hear that? Jesus has keys. Jesus has the keys to set you free. If you ever bought a house, there comes a time when you get the keys, right? You got the keys because there was a closing. There was a legal transaction. There was a payment. It was notarized. It was signed. It was sealed, right? It was recorded. It was transferred. It's a done deal. And now ownership, new ownership has taken place. And my friends, that is what the Word of God is telling us today. That is what Jesus is telling us this morning, right? A transaction happened. There was a payment. It was signed. It was sealed. There's new ownership, and I have the keys. I went down there, and I got the keys to everything that was locked up. I hold the keys to death and Hades. Hallelujah. There's this other encounter that Jesus has with Peter and Philippi. You might sound familiar. Just happened to be, right, Bible trivia. Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you think I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds, "Blessed are you, Simon." And then he says this in verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock," right, the rock of his confession, not the rock of Peter, "the rock of this confession that you are the Son of the living God," right, "I will build my church upon that, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Sometimes you read that, and you feel pressure regarding the church, or at least I do. I don't know if you do. Sometimes I feel like I have to flex. Okay, we as the church, we're going after the gates of hell. Come on, let's go. We're going to take them down, right? But Jesus said, here's how we're going to do that. Here's what that's going to look like. You ready? I'm going to go there, right? I'm going to defeat the enemy. I'm going to be raised up to everlasting life. I'm going to be the living one. And while I'm there, I'm taking the keys. I'm taking every last key that's down here. I'm taking all the keys, and there is nothing that anyone or any being can do to stop me. There's the flex, right? It's not us. It's not the church. It's the Holy One, the Son of God, right? And here he's just letting everybody know, hey, I got him. I did that. Right? The keys to what? The keys to spiritual life. The keys that open death and Hades. The keys that let you escape God's wrath and that eternal separation that was your destiny because of our sinful choices, right? The keys that let us experience God's grace and forgiveness and his presence. Jesus says, I got those keys. Does anyone need that? Nearly everybody today is looking for that, right? How do I get to God? Jesus has the key. Jesus is the key. When Jesus showed up, when his friend Lazarus had died, he said to Lazarus' sister these words in John 11, 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life." I am the resurrection and the life. I am the source of that. Right? In other words, what he's really saying is, I have the key. I have the key. I am the key. He said, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? We've been talking about that question a lot here lately. Do you believe this? Is this your truth? Is this what you're depending on? Is this where your faith is, right? That's what he's saying to all of us today. Do you believe there's been a closing? Do you believe a legal transaction, a payment has been made? The paperwork signed and notarized. My name's in a book, right? The book. It's been sealed. Something's been transferred. There's new ownership. Do you believe it? Do you believe I have the key? Do you believe I am the key? I am the way. The key that I have is the key to your forgiveness and your eternal future with the God who loves you. I have the key to that. I have the key that can set you free. He who puts their trust in him and finds that death has been swallowed up in victory, right? Paul wrote it, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 51. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we all will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the key to everlasting life. He even said it, hinted at it, showed it before he started his earthly ministry, or at the start of his earthly ministry. Remember Luke 4, 18 through 19, it's actually a quote from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. We're not talking about financially poor. We're talking about the poor in spirit. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. My friends, do you get this? This is incredible. Incredible. He's here to proclaim Anno Domini, right? Today we live in the year of the Lord's favor because Jesus holds the keys right now to death and to Hades. And anyone who wants spiritual life, right, he is willing to extend grace to that person. Grace and forgiveness. Praise God. But today, you need to hear there's more. You see, he has the keys, plural, right? The big key is what we've just talked about, what we've just hit on, right? But there are many smaller keys that he has that you need to hear about this morning. I don't know what all the small keys go to, but maybe you know what one goes to in your life. It's that key to that thing in your life. Does anybody need that key this morning? That key that could set you free? Jesus has that key too. The key to all of our addictions. Man, I've been set free from addictions. Will you hear that today? He's telling you. He's telling us. I went down and I grabbed that key. Yes, even that key that you're thinking about right now, right? The key to that cell that you've been locked in for years, for maybe decades. I experienced addiction for decades. I got that key. I got the key to that habit. I went and got it. I had the key to that curse on your life, that curse on your family's, right? There was a curse on my family's life, right? And he got the key and set us free from that. A different addiction. Jesus got it. The key to the prison of the grief that you're in. Jesus got it. The key that will allow you to truly forgive someone. Finally, he got that key. I have the key to that secret you hide. I have the key to that pattern that describes your life, right? The key to your way of thinking. I got them all. I got the key to your past. I got the key to the label that's on your life. Do you hear him? I hold the keys, right? Do you get that? Listen, if he has the keys, do you think he's letting you stay locked in that? He's opened the doors. He split them open. They're not locked. They're not closed. They are wide open, and all you need to do is walk out through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you think a father would not open the door when he knew you were stuck in something? As amazing it is to hear that Jesus was torn, right, and a way was made so that you can have a relationship with God. I know that there are people that are listening that do not feel worthy to step through that door into his presence, into a relationship with him, and they're stuck behind bars. Bars made of shame, but he died for that. Bars made of guilt. He died for that. Bars made of our past, of our failures. My friends, you need to hear it. You need to get this right. He died for all of that. All the dead ends, all the outbursts, all the falling down, getting up, falling down, getting up, all the starts, right, all the failures. We're behind bars. But what you need to hear is that Jesus already unlocked those bars. He already opened those doors. They're wide open. All you have to do is walk through. Not on your strength, not on what you did, right? Because you keep falling. You keep picking that stupid thing back up. You didn't open the door. You don't hold the keys. You just got to walk through them. And trust that he holds the keys, that he made the way, that he is the way, right? And proclaim that with your mouth. My faith is fully in him, in this thing that I'm struggling with, right? And I'm going to walk out. But James, I keep tripping. I keep falling. I keep stumbling from the same old thing. Yeah, I told you, decades for me trapped in addiction. Did I make the way, though? I don't have anything to do with making the way. All I got to do is get on the way. All I got to do is repent and seek forgiveness and ask him to heal me and change me and get on that road that leads to eternal life, that road out that open door, right? My flesh wasn't torn. I didn't come down from heaven. I don't love you like he loves you. I love you. But I can't say I love you like he does. No? Okay. Well, that's not about you. Jesus has the keys. The doors are open. You can choose to go back in that cell. We do it all the time. You can choose that path, but you need to know the door's open. You're in there by your own choice. But the door's open, right? So if you fall, get out. Get right back on the path. What's out of that cell? The presence of God. Where do things change? Where is our mind renewed? Where are we transformed? In the presence of God. Get out of the cell and do whatever you can to spend as much time in his presence. Get to church, right? Get the Bible study. Be in the Word of God. Be in prayer. Be in the presence, right? One thing. Didn't we preach about that? Get in his presence, right? That's where you'll see fruit start to come. That's where I experienced freedom from addiction. Man, I kept falling. I kept going back into that cell. But then I started spending more and more time in the presence of God, saying to him, Jesus, man, I keep falling. I don't want to do this. You're going to have to change me. You're going to have to do something because I can't do it. Right? And the more time I spent in there, the more the clay was molded. The more time I spent connected to the vine, right? Branch life, what we've talked about often, the more he flowed into me. You got to get past the shame. You got to get past the guilt, right? And just get into his presence and ask him to forgive you. He's your heavenly Father. He wants you to be set free. He doesn't want to just punish you in your sin, right? He wants you to experience freedom from that. That's why you got the key. That's what's available to you. That's why Christmas is amazing, right? He's got the key to eternal life, but he's also got those other keys to set you free. Can I read that passage from Isaiah in Luke again? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Are you poor in spirit? Are you desperate for Jesus to help you? Are you looking for a way, right, but you can't find a way? Here's the good news, right? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. My friend, if you are a prisoner of some addiction or something like that, he has sent Jesus to proclaim freedom from that. Gates are open. Cells open. You can choose to stay in there, or you can choose to come out into his presence, right? We think that everything changes through proclaiming some magic words in Jesus' name. It's not about that. It's in Jesus' name, in his authority, right? That's what we really mean. It's in the presence of Jesus. He is the mediator, right? It is in that that we are set free. That's what we mean when we say in Jesus' name, right? When we cast things out, we're really coming into his presence, coming into alignment with him. That's where things start to happen, right? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind. Do you feel like you're blind, that you're walking in darkness, right? He can open your eyes. He can be that light that you need, that light for your path. We know that's the word of God. It's available to you, right? To set the oppressed free. Are you under a curse? I'd proclaim, be free from that. But he already proclaimed it. He's already opened the door. You just got to walk through in repentance and ask for forgiveness and keep walking through it and stay there in the presence of God. It is hard to sin in the presence of God. It is hard to sin when you're in prayer and you're reading the Bible, right? Because you're focused on him. You're in his presence. That's where all darkness flees. But then we get off to ourselves. We start making choices and we choose to go back into that cell. Get out. Get out of there. Right? Yeah, you fall. Get up. Get back out. Right? Keep going. He'll set you free. He already did. You just got to live in it. You just got to walk in it, right? To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. My friends, he split the gates of hell. He split every gate that you are trapped in or have been trapped in. You just need to ask his forgiveness, repent, die to yourself, and walk out. That's what it is. Would you stand with me? Where are you at? Are you in the cell? Are you in the cell of guilt? Are you in the cell of shame? Will you hear me today? He died for that. He's died to set you free. You just got to accept that. You got to believe it. Isn't that what he asked? Do you believe? That's my question for you today. Do you believe? Will you embrace it if you do? Will you try it if you're still wondering? Right? Will you listen to the Holy Spirit speaking inside of you? And let it go. Seek His forgiveness. Repent, right? And walk out those doors into a relationship with the Holy One. Not because of anything you did, not because you earned it, you got filthy rags like me, right? But you can have the righteousness of God that gives you confidence to stand in the presence of a holy God. Would you embrace His righteousness? Would you clothe yourself in that? Will you take that on? Will you let that cover every sin and shame and thing inside of you that you've done wrong, right? All the bad things? Would you believe that He is the Son of God and His death paid the price for all those sins? Would you quit thinking too highly of yourself, that your sin is too much? What? Are you God? No, God died for you. He's worthy. Would you step through that and give Him all praise and honor this season? That's what's available. Father, we thank You for today. Lord, I pray that right now we would make decisions in our heart to say, yes, we believe. Yes, we trust. We trust You for the forgiveness of our sins. We ask You to take them away. We ask You to help us to live in that victory, Lord. Father, I pray, though, especially today, though, that people who are trapped in addiction, trapped in something, trapped in grief, trapped in guilt, trapped in labels, Lord, I pray today for the very first time they would see that the doors are open. They would see who's holding the keys, and they would go up to them, to go up to You and just embrace You. And embrace Your righteousness, embrace Your forgiveness, and live out of that place, and live a life worthy of that gift that's been given to them. Father, if they fall, I pray that they'd fall towards You, fall towards the cross. Lord, that they would repent and seek Your forgiveness and get back into Your presence. Father, I pray that we would discipline our lives to be people of prayer, to be people in the Word, to be people of that continue to meet, that do not give up meeting together. Father, would You bring them to Bible study, Lord? And would You produce the fruit that only You can by us being connected to You? Would You transform us and change us to look more like You, Lord? Father, send us out. Give us opportunities to share this good news, Lord. We love You and we give You praise. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.